Chapter 5. Mr. Micawber was sent to a debtor's prison, and Mrs. Micawber decided to take their children and live with him there. I moved to a small room near the prison. I went to see the Micawbers for breakfast every day and went to play cards with them at night. They were happy in prison because they had better food there. I was miserable working in the warehouse. Mrs. Micawber had found a way for the Micawbers to be released from the prison, but Mr. Micawber was busy writing to the government to change the law. He wanted to change it so that people couldn't be sent to prison for owing money. All the people in the prison signed the letter, and Mr. Micawber made a deal with the people he owed money to so he could go home. Mrs. Micawber told me that when he was free, they would leave London and go to Plymouth. I didn't know how I would survive living in London without them, so I made a plan to escape too. The Murdstones didn't care what happened to me. When I said goodbye to the Micawbers, Mr. Micawber said to me, "You are a true friend. Let me tell you, never get into debt. It makes you miserable." When they were gone, I went back to the warehouse. I wasn't going to stay there long. I was going to run away and find Miss Betsy Trotwood. I wrote to Peggotty to find out where she lived and if I could borrow some money. Peggotty sent me the money and told me that Betsy lived near Dover. I waited until Saturday night to leave. I got paid on Saturday night, and when I had my money, I left London for Dover. As I set out, my money and my trunk of belongings were stolen, so I had to try to walk to Dover. I sold some of the clothes that I had left and went to sleep in a haystack that was behind Salem House. When I woke up, I left without going to see my old school friends. I walked 23 miles on the first day, but I was afraid of going to an inn to sleep. They might take me to the police as I was a runaway. I had to sell more of my clothes to buy food on Monday. There were many men who walked the roads like I was doing. They frightened me. I hid from them whenever I could. When I got to Dover, I asked people on the street to find out where Betsy lived, but no one would help me. "I don't like the look of you," they said, and laughed at me. I asked people all day until I found a man with a cart. He gave me a penny and told me where Betsy lived. On my way there, I met Betsy's servant. She thought I was a beggar, but she took me to the house. I waited in the garden until Miss Betsy came out. "Go away. Boys are not welcome here," she told me. "But you are my aunt," I said to her. Betsy sat down, looking shocked. I told her everything that had happened, and I started to cry. Betsy took me into the house and brought me lots of food to eat. She called for her servant Janet to bring down Mr. Dick. He lived in the house too. "This is David Copperfield," she said. "What do I do with him?" she asked. "Wash him," Mr. Dick said. Janet went to run a bath for me, and Betsy gave me more food. The bath made me feel much better. They got rid of my clothes and gave me some of Mr. Dick's clothes to wear. I went to sleep, and when I woke up, we all had dinner together. Betsy asked me to tell the story of what happened to me since she last saw me again. I told her everything. When I had finished, Betsy asked Mr. Dick what they should do. Mr. Dick said, "Put him to bed." My bedroom looked out over the sea. Betsy locked the door so I wouldn't run away again. I prayed that I would never be homeless or forget what it was like to be homeless before I fell asleep. I was sad when Betsy decided to write to Mr. Murdstone, but I had somewhere to live for now. I went upstairs to see Mr. Dick. His real name was Mr. Richard Babley, but he hated his name. His family had been cruel to him, and so everyone called him Mr. Dick. He was writing a memorial. He told me about it and seemed very happy to talk to me. There was a large kite in his room that I kept looking at. Mr. Dick told me, "My kite is covered with pages of facts." I wrote them down and I used the kite to send the facts into the air and away from my mind. We both laughed at this. We became friends very quickly. I went downstairs and Betsy asked me what I thought of Mr. Dick. People called him crazy, but he isn't. He has lived here for 10 years. His brother wanted to lock him up. He was very ill when he came to live with me. His memorial is a history of himself. He is the nicest man I have ever met. And if he likes to fly a kite, what harm does it do? She said to me. I lived with Betsy and Mr. Dick for several weeks. Then the Murdstones came to the house. They upset Betsy by riding on her lawn. They sat down with Betsy and told her about what a horrible boy I was. Betsy didn't believe them. Mr. Dick was sitting with them and clearly didn't like the Murdstones. They were just like his brother. Betsy asked about my mother's will. Mr. Murdstone had got everything. Now, I will take David back with me. I can do what I like with him. If you try to stop me, then you will have to deal with him. I will never have anything to do with him ever again, Mr. Murdstone said. David, what do you want? Betsy asked me, ignoring the Murdstones. I don't want to go with them. They are cruel and made my own mother hate me, I cried. What do you think, Mr. Dick? Betsy asked. We need to take him to be measured for a suit of clothes, Mr. Dick said. Of course, you are right. David will be staying here. You are both liars. You will not ruin my family any more. You killed David's mothers, but you won't have him. Now, leave my house, Betsy said. Mr. Murdstone didn't say anything, but he had turned pale. When they had gone, Betsy said to me, Mr. Dick and I will be your guardians. You will be called David Trotwood Copperfield.